Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Girl POC, it's Sunday, so you already know you need to wake up, wake up, wake up with me, your girl POC, each and every Sunday here on Time for the Awakening, man. But you already know you can find us on reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. Go ahead and click that link in my bio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at @revive_POC. Man, I need you guys to go ahead and follow us right now and make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message. We are live on Time for the Awakening each and every Sunday morning with that good Sunday morning radio for you guys, man. Wake up, wake up, wake up. You already know I need you to blow my phone up each and every Sunday. That number is 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. I need you guys to go ahead and give me a call each and every Sunday. Blow the lines up. You already know we blessing the airwaves here on Time for the Awakening every Wednesday. We got that Winning Wednesday edition here on Time for the Awakening. From 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., you'll be listening to Meet Your Girl POC reviving the airwaves. And you already know I got your girl Harmony, the goddess in the building with me each and every time we bless these airways. Yo, Harmony, how you feeling today? It's morning time. It's raining. How you feeling, man? You gloomy or you pumped up and ready to go? We live right now, baby.
I'm definitely pumped up and ready to go, but this weather got me feeling a different type of feeling. It's raining outside. It's a little foggy. It's a little cold, but I'm feeling good, though. I'm feeling good. It's Sunday, so Super Soul Sunday.
What you about to do today, man? Today's a long day. We just getting started. We waking the people up right now in the a.m. What you got going on for the rest of the day?
I got a couple things lined up, definitely, for shout out to the Black Gala. And also just some things that I'm trying to get together with the whole massage with Remedy Spa and Wellness. So I'm just trying to create some different foundations and some different outlets for me, just doing things that I love to do. So I got a couple things lined up. Just stay tuned. Just stay tuned.
I'm with you, man. I'm definitely with you. This weekend was get some work done kind of a weekend anyway. Definitely. I definitely got some work done myself. We're working on the Revive website right now, reviveisalive.com. Make sure you guys go check out the new news stories we put up for you guys, man. It's a lot of information out there that you guys need to check out. And we're trying to give you that news for you, by you, that FUBU style kind of news. You know what I'm saying? No fake news. We're giving out that FUBU style kind of news for you, by you, that interesting news that you need to know. We put up some cryptocurrency information, because that cryptocurrency is definitely taking over. I need you guys to go check that out. Also, Wells Fargo just got cut. I'm trying to see how that's going to go down. Wells Fargo is one of the largest banks right now.
What do you mean they just got cut?
Pretty much they got cut. Let me pull up the article for you guys, man. They got cut. The banking institution is not banking with Wells Fargo anymore. No one's banking with Wells Fargo. You know that scandal that came out last year when they was creating all these, you know, phony accounts, giving people car insurance and auto insurance that they didn't need, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I switched a long time ago. I went from Wells Fargo. Well, what was it before? It wasn't Wells Fargo before.
It was Wachovia.
Wachovia, yeah. I switched from Wachovia to Bank of America, 1111. Hey, shout out to the gateways. Come through, universe. But so I switched from Wells Fargo to Bank of America because, you know what? I was wise back then. I think I'm ahead of my time. So I'm not really sure what's going on now, but I feel like it's been some things going on for some time now with the banks. That's why they switched over to Wachovia to Wells Fargo.
That's why I've been feeling a burn. You hear me? Bernie Sanders has been talking about this for a very, very long time. This is not something that's new. This is not something that, you know, just circulated, that just came to surface. This is something that's been going on for a very, very long time. And they're now just, you know, cutting it off from the top, which is amazing. So this happened on February 3rd. The Federal Reserve has dropped the hammer on Wells Fargo. The Fed handed down an unprecedented punishment late Friday for what it was called the bank's whisper customer abuse. And that's exactly what it was. And I'm sorry, I said whisper. It's widespread customer abuse, including the creations of millions with an S, millions of fake customer accounts just so they can keep their numbers up. That's how they was out here getting it, creating fake accounts so they can keep their numbers up.
That's how we doing, Wells Fargo?
That's how they feeling. Ooh, watch the head went straight to the mic. I know that he heard that out there, man. Definitely give us a call, man. You just heard Harmony hit her head on the mic. I need you guys to give me a call. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. Man, I need to know, if you banking with Wells Fargo, are you still banking with Wells Fargo? And are you with someone that was affected by this Wells Fargo, you know, catastrophe? That's what I'm going to call it. Were you somebody that was affected? I actually started my account when I first started banking. My very, very first account that I ever opened was with Wachovia myself. And I actually had an incident that was my fault. I ain't even gonna hold you. I fell for one of those account scam things. You give me $20 and you get $200. I was a victim of that. I ain't even gonna hold you. So they tried to get me and they ended.
They got you, POC. And now you done made one talk about how people still falling for that.
Exactly, how they're still falling for this. I got this back when it was Wachovia.
I'm trying to get quick money, and quick money ain't really quick money. So just pay attention, honestly.
Definitely, man. Go after the opportunity, not the money. If you still focus on the money, the opportunity is going to miss you right past. So I agree with you with that one, definitely. But yeah, I got with that one, definitely. So I've been banking with them for a very long time, but then I cut it off quick. Well, they actually cut me off. I ain't even going to hold you. We both was trying to cut each other. I'm like, no, I ain't do this. They like, you did this. I'm like, can we just shut the account? I could just go somewhere else. They was like, all right, just don't bank with us. I said, no problem. I'm out of here. But that's exactly what happened. Yeah, so if you still bank with Wachovia, Wells Fargo, whatever you want to call them, man, I want to know, how is your banking experience over there? Let us know. You don't got to tell us how much in your account, but we want to know, are they treating you guys right over there? And that's what we definitely, that's why we got to have money habits. You know what I'm saying? So people like me don't fall. I don't even think I've ever told Tab that.
No. Tab money habits is not for people who's falling for the scam, the get quick scheme. Tab money habits is for people who's trying to build on and have a longevity with their money. People like you, that's false. No, I'm not going to say people like you, because I fell for that one time too, and I went to Walgreens and tried to get the card and everything. Like, yeah, we about to be rich over here.
They be sounding so real, right? It be sounding so legit. It really do, man. Especially I was in college. When you in college, you try and do whatever you can to get a good meal, because you tired of them noodles. You hear me? So whatever you can do to get a good meal. So yes, man. Definitely. Please don't fall for it any longer. Two victims right here putting it live on air that we fell for the scam. We got got. We definitely got got. I got got. But I only got got for $20. How much was yours?
Mine was like $3,000. Like, mine was some money. Like, mine was some. Like,
you didn't pay the $3,000, did you?
No. Like, you had to. I think when I did it, it was like you had to get the card from. Where was it over there? Oh, Rite Aid. You had to get the card from Rite Aid. And put money on it and then transfer it somewhere or put it. I don't know. It was like now that I look at it, it was something totally ridiculous. But at that time, I thought, I'm like, you know, doing it, because I think they even said they were from, like, you know, student loans or something. Like, it was they, like, really had a great plan and really sounded legit. But when you actually do your research, and if you have to pay for something and then send it to somebody else, like, that you don't know, like, don't ever send money to somebody you don't know. Like, that's just like a setup right there, honestly.
Well, I learned my lesson. All right.
No, I'm talking to myself too, because I fell for the okie doke.
Definitely. But man, if you are in the city of Philadelphia right now and you went to that parade this past Thursday, I want to hear from you, because we did not get to make it down there. Revive did not get to make it down there. I'm so sad. I had so many plans for that parade. I wanted to go live down there. I wanted to do some live in-person interviews with some people down there. And I definitely missed that opportunity because I had to be an adult. I was like, yo, I have to be an adult. I had to get a new oven and all of those stuff. And the only time they could do it was Thursday during the parade. Ain't that crazy?
I mean, that's a little crazy, but did you get some work done?
I got some work done while they was getting some work done, but that wasn't the point. I wanted to go down there and celebrate and be immersed. You know what I'm saying? And the crazy part is I wasn't going down there to celebrate the victory of the Eagles, though, because I'm still on my boycott. I did not forget. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I wanted to go down there and be around the people who were celebrating, because the amount of energy, the amount of, like, people's spirits was extremely high. People's emotions was even high. I seen people crying on, like, social media because they really, truly love the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles have some legitimate fans. They go to bat. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Philadelphia Eagles fans, they are true fans up in here. So I definitely was like, yo, I want to make it down there. I want to experience that with a, you know, someone who's been a fan since they've been 10 years old, never seen the Eagles win a Super Bowl, never seen them come out the conference strong. So the fact that they were able to do that, I wanted to be able to experience that and hear that story from, you know, one of their fans, definitely. But we missed that opportunity. But I do want to talk a little bit about the parade. The parade was about 5 miles long. It went from Broad Street all the way down to Patterson Avenue, to the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, and then it ended on the ended at the Philadelphia Art Museum. Did you participate in the museum? In the parade, I'm sorry.
I did not participate. I think you know, to celebrate something so amazing like that for the city, I'm all for it. Power to the people. But for me, I get a little claustrophobic, and people were coming from all areas, Jersey, Delaware, Philly, D.C., wherever you came from. If you came to the parade, definitely give us a call, 215-490-9832. But it was so many people down there that I did not want to go, and they were also playing it on TV. So I got the, you know, the front row seats of watching it on TV. And then, you know, while I'm doing my Uber and my Lyft rides, I am talking to my consumers, and they're telling me all about it. So I kind of got 3 experiences in 1. Boom.
Okay. Big ups to you and your 3 experiences, right? Definitely. But nah, I didn't make it to the parade myself. But one thing that I did take away from the parade was the amount of trash. Yo, Philly is already, and I'm not throwing any shade because this city is definitely showing me some love, but Philly is not, you know, your most going green kind of a city. You know, they only have 1 trash day for everybody in the whole city. It's not, you know, multiple days where they come around to pick up the trash. They do got the sweep, the street sweepers and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you see trash everywhere you go when you're in the city of Philadelphia. And that parade did nothing but bring extra trash.
You see trash and you see potholes.
The potholes is real. Oh my God, what's up with the city when it comes to the potholes?
But
right,
we're not bashing the city. We love Philadelphia. We just need some work.
I'm bashing the legislators and the state reps and all that. Yes, I am. It should be no reason why we pay as much taxes and the potholes are that big and that many, like literally on every block, on every street.
Harmony's not bashing. Harmony's saying we need some work to do. We need some work to get done.
Let's can't even get it out. No. So at the end of the day, no. They need to do some work, like, for real, bro. They need to get it done. They really do, because them potholes is crazy. But to get back on the trash, though, the amount of trash that came from that parade was ridiculous, was honestly, truly ridiculous. And they shut the city down that day. So not many city workers were working that day. I mean, yeah, so everybody can participate and you know, be a part of. But at the same time, I want to just talk about how much trash was in the city.
Not only that, just shutting down the city and so they can celebrate, but just also think of like a safety hazard where people are trying to get to work back and forth and you already are in the middle of the madness. So I think that was more so like a safety hazard, but I could be wrong. And if I am, give us a call. 215-490-9832. That emergency contact number to revive your airways is 215-490-9832. Back to the trash. Back to you, POC.
You too funny. But yes, man, definitely. I do really feel like something should have went down. It should have been something implemented, you know, a strategic plan or something of how, you know, you were going to prevent the trash. It should have been trash cans on each block, should have been trash cans on each station. They even had the cardboard trash cans now. You don't even have to do the metal ones. Like, something should have went down. Because when I looked at the pictures, when I go down, because I went down Broad Street after the parade and all that kind of stuff, it was filthy out there. Like, oh my, like, what's up? And I just wasn't with it. Why I wasn't with it? Because I live here, I pay taxes here, and most of the people, like you said, do not live here. They do not live here. Those 1.6 million people, all of them do not live here. So they went home to their prospective suburbs or their towns, whatever it may be, and they were fine. Versus us here in the city, we are looking at trash outside of our doors. That's why we have so many stray cats. The other day, remember we was driving, we seen, what was that, like a raccoon or something?
Like a possum or something. Like that, that was really freaking huge. But I have 2 points to make, because it's like, we have trash cans all over the cities. We have trash cans all over the city now. And it's like, how many people really take the initiative to walk over to the trash can and dump something in the trash can? Not a lot of people do that. Not a lot of people have that common sense. Common sense is not that common. But also, I was reading this book. It said, I think it's called Don't Sweat the Small Things. I'm not sure who's it by, so I'll let y'all know later. But, and he talks about, if you want something done, like, maybe you should start to do it yourself. So if you see trash on the ground outside your house, outside in your city, you start to pick up the trash. And so now your neighbors and now the community is like, oh, I see her picking it up. Let me go pick this up. I can pick this can up. Like, please have gloves and stuff. But, you know, you got to start there first, because you can't expect everybody else around you to do it when there's trash cans literally a foot next to someone and they would still litter. Like, or they're in their car and they still gonna throw it out their window because they can't hold it until they get to their destination. So it's just like,
Well, that does happen. That does happen a lot. But I'm physically talking about the trash that came from the parade. But I appreciate you putting out them facts, too. No, for real. I really do appreciate you putting out them facts, because there are people who will literally just walk right past the trash can, or it's 10 more steps, and they don't want to take those 10 steps, so they just throw it whatever they are. So, yes, we all have to have that common practice of picking things up and actually physically putting them in the trash, or just starting off putting them in the trash from the very beginning. Exactly, because at the end of the day, we're going to be the ones that have to pick them up anyway, or we're going to be the ones that just have to walk around and just look at our city being trashed. And we're the ones trashing it. You guys, we live here. We live here. Don't trash where you live. But definitely, man, go check out some of the stories on reviveisalive.com under the news and press section if you want to keep up to date. We also put that Quincy Jones story out there, too, man. Quincy Jones just dropped some straight tea earlier this week about a lot of different things. He talked about Ivanka Trump. He talked about how he used to date Ivanka Trump. He talked about Richard Pryor. He dropped a lot of different information in there. So I suggest you guys go read that. It was a great, great article, man. Go read that. You can find that at reviveisalive.com under the news and press section. But we about to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we should be up with our very first guest today. I'm really excited to be speaking with our guest, man. We have a jam-packed show. We also have TLS Politics coming on around 12 o'clock, talking about the latest news and politics. So make sure you guys stay tuned with the actual factuals. You do not want to miss your boy Keith Taylor. You already know what time it is. It's me, your girl POC. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Superstition. kissing a donkey relieves a toothache.
Ee-oh.
Well, how about this one? For aching teeth, run 3 times around the church without thinking of a fox. Sound silly? Well, that's what people used to believe. Luckily today, they don't lean on fallacies about dental health. Instead, they've learned the facts. Where some folks used to think of going to a dentist only when they had a toothache, today, they go for regularly scheduled examinations. Because they know their dentist is a specialist, concerned not only with teeth, but with bone structure, muscles, soft tissues. He can prevent or treat problems which start in the mouth and may affect the entire body. Yes, fallacies about dental health have given way to facts. And it's a good thing for you and your family. Because a healthy mouth means a happier life.
I am an alternative high school student.
An alternative high school student.
An alternative high school student.
I'm an alternative high school student, but I'm cool.
But I'm not dumb.
But I'm well educated.
But I'm not a dropout.
But I never gave up.
I didn't quit.
But I am ambitious.
I set goals and I reach them.
I face challenges.
I face challenges and I'm motivated to get my diploma.
I face challenges, stepped up, and became more focused in school.
I re-engaged myself in school.
And I will graduate.
I made mistakes.
I made mistakes.
And I'm correcting them by getting my high school diploma.
But I'm graduating August 2016.
I'm an alternative high school student from West Philly. But we're not like other schools. It's the difference between us and other schools. We come together as a community. We here to make things better, make things brighter for our future and other kids.
And I'm just one of them kids that's trying to make it better for y'all as well.
Part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
You have the power to stop bullying.
Speak up.
Speak out.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference.
Bullying isn't kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Or to walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
Already know what time it is. We back live right now. reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. Spread the word. Spread the message. reviveisalive.com. Go ahead and click that link in my bio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can find us at revive_POC. And you already know I need you guys to go ahead and subscribe to that Revive newsletter so you can stay in the loop to everything Revive has to offer. Go subscribe right now. Subscribe. Sign two people up, man. Go feel froggy and sign two people up. Jump right now to reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com, and you already know, Harmony, when that newsletter dropping, and how beautiful is it? You know what I mean? That newsletter is so put together so precisely. It's like, nah, I'm playing. But yes, man, we got to get them people to subscribe to that newsletter.
Definitely. So subscribe to Revive newsletter to stay in the loop about what's going on, what had happened in the previous time. Understand that this is a new year, so it's so many things that's happening for Revive. Revive is reviving the people, the airways. Look, we're trying to keep y'all alive. And if you subscribe to this newsletter, you'll definitely see what's going on. And also just find some Revive gear that's popping. It's spring coming up. You definitely got to get your Revive gear, your Russell Brand gear, because they got some hot stuff coming out. Y'all don't even know. I already put my pre-orders in. Okay, let me tell you.
You're too funny, and I'm mad you said what had happened was. You was like, for they could sign up, so what had happened? But yes, man, definitely subscribe to that Revive newsletter, and definitely go spread the word. Reviveisalive.com is now available at your fingertips. And if you are feeling froggy, please continue to donate to the Revive 365 campaign. We're only asking for $1. You can find that donation button on the home page of the website. It's on the home page. All you got to do is go click that donate button. It's going to come directly to us, man. And I appreciate you guys for always showing love and always showing support, man. Thank you for helping us keep Revive alive, because you already know we go live 3 times a week. You can catch us on DG every Monday, reviving your airways from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And we're on here, Time for an Awakening, 2 times a week, reviving the airways, blessing the airways. We got that Winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And today, each and every Sunday, that Good Sunday Morning Talk Radio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But yo, Harmony, who we got coming on the Revive platform? We got an amazing lineup of guests today coming on the Revive platform today. This young man is incredible. The work that he's doing, the book that he put out, everything about him is truly incredible. Harmony, who we have coming on the Revive platform today?
Yes. He's definitely an amazing, the director, the photographer, the writer himself, Ravel LaForette. He's the founder of Valley Magus. He was born in Miami, Florida, and raised in Brooklyn, New York. So he's a middle child. He was a middle child in a low-income family with 2 immigrant parents. This left him with a huge imagination, seeking creative outlets to express himself. He drew influences from vast, diverse culture of Flatbush, Brooklyn, where he grew up. And then at the age of 12, he began filming neighborhood basketball games. And by age 14, he attempted to put together a rap DVD. By age 17, after taking a class in photography, he pursued a career in photography and starting his production company, Valley Magus LLC, at the age of 19. So he also published 2 lookbooks. Look, we have an amazing guest. Make sure you tune in. If you got a question, call in. That number is 215-490-9832. So we definitely welcome him to the platform.
No doubt, man. I definitely welcome him to the platform. Ravel, you out there today? Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Peace and blessings. What's going on, y'all? How y'all feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. I'm excited to be speaking with you today. Are you in Philly right now?
I'm actually headed to Philly. I'm just leaving Brooklyn right now. I had a artist talk last night for an exhibition that I opened about 2 weeks ago.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Before we
I'm leaving the city right now.
That's amazing. Before we get to what you did yesterday with your artist talk, I definitely want to get into that today. But I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the people exactly who we're speaking to.
Hey, what's going on, people? What's going on? Revive family. My name is Ravel LaFerre. I go by Vel Images. I'm a photographer first because that's what I've been doing longest professionally. I am an indie film director, writer, author. I'm just an artist, man. I'm just a creative. And I choose these different platforms to express, you know, my message and relay my message and, you know, try to uplift and show representation of my people. You know what I mean? And my story and, you know, the things I believe in and, you know, show people where I'm from.
Definitely. So. And you're doing it in such a creative way, a creative style, man. You drop some lookbooks for the people. You're doing it in an impeccable way, honestly, truly. But yeah, so yesterday. No doubt. And in New York right now, New York Fashion Week is going on. So were you a
New
part
York
of
Fashion
New York
is Fashion definitely
Week?
Going on.
Were you? Did you take any part of it?
Honestly, just the after party, just the party.
Okay.
I wasn't involved in anything this week and this year because it gets a little bit much, and I just took a step back from it because of, you know, I had a lot going on with my travels and the projects I've been putting out. So I kind of like took a step away from that life. That life can. It's funny. I was talking to one of my friends yesterday at the we had a gallery opening after my artist talk, and I met him in the industry. He was modeling at the time. He's Rastafarian. And I was like, yo, Molly, what's good, man? Like, you know, what do you got going on? Like, he's like, yo, I had to walk away from the scene. I had to step away just to find myself, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And get back to self, because it was just like, sometimes when you're in that life and you're in that light, you kind of lose who you are. You kind of lose sense of self. And it's very easily, very easily for some of us to really lose sense of self and just get lost and caught up in the scene. So me right now, the way I'm moving and the products I'm putting out right now don't necessarily correlate with, you know, that world. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have a lot of friends who took part, but it's just like, that's not where I'm at right now. So I kind of fell back this year to focus on the things that I'm working on.
Awesome. But in the meantime, in between time, you had an artist talk all at the same time while New York Fashion Week was going on.
Yeah. I definitely had a couple things going on at the same time, yeah.
So how was that? How was that artist talk? How did the people who participated and attended the event, how did they take from you at that time?
So, yeah, it was dope, man. You guys got to excuse my background. New York City is extremely loud.
Okay.
it's like, what's my man ASAP Ferg said? It's like, you can't even do nothing with your window open in New York. It's just crazy. But, yo, it was crazy. 2 weeks ago, I was a part of my first group exhibition. I was asked to enter like two pieces from my Melanin Empowerment book, enter them into the project, just because, you know, the guy who curated the show was like, he's trying to bring the old with the new. So these new, young, fresh artists with all this vibrant energy, you know, which, you know, he was referring to myself and a couple other great artists. He wanted to put us up with some guys that are hanging in, like, museums right now. And he's like, yo, I'm going to bring the best of both worlds. So that was my first group show ever. That was, like,
awesome.
2 weeks ago. We did the opening for that exhibition.
Congrats.
And at the Brooklyn Arts Fellowship in Park Slope, Brooklyn. And then...
congratulations on
that. Yes. Appreciate you. I was super humbled. It was an amazing opportunity. The show's still hanging up. It's going to be up for a month. So yesterday we did an artist talk so we can invite people who are really into the arts and care about what's going on and want to discuss, you know, the inspiration behind a lot of these pieces. So that's what the artist talk was about yesterday. And it was super dope to see all the people come out who really cared and just really were so curious. I feel like it was more about the audience than it was about the artist to me, because it was like the questions they had, they were just so inquisitive and just so curious and just so engaged with some of the pieces that we had in the show. So it was amazing, man. We touched on a lot of things.
Val, what was one of
my, go ahead.
I was going to say, Vail, what was one of the questions that, you know, one of the audience member asked you and you were just blown away like, yo, that's a really good question. Hold on, I got to take a step back and think about it real quick.
Oh, man, it was a couple. One of them was from a friend of mine who was actually recording the show. He asked us as the artist, he was like, you know, if you guys didn't have this certain platform or let's say I was up there for my photography. So he basically was saying, if you didn't have access to a camera, how would you express your art? How would you find a way to express your relay your message and get across what you're trying to say through your art? Which I thought was an amazing question, right? Yes. Because so many of us kind of tie ourselves to, you know, one thing, you know what I mean? Which is usually material, right? Mm-hmm. So I brought it in my mind, what clicked in my mind immediately was, well, when you're an artist or a creative and you have a message that you're trying to put out, that message is going to come through regardless. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, back in the days, in the ancient times, we had things like that we still have today, which are the pyramids. We had hieroglyphics. All of these were messages somebody somewhere was trying to get across, and they used what they had on hand to get that message across. So no matter what you have available to you, if it's in you and you have to relay that message, you're going to find a way to get it across to the masses. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that was really one of the questions that really had me like, wow. I think I never was asked that question in that way.
Definitely. And that actually just gives me, you know, more, you know, looking, how I should say, let me say this, actually makes me look different at my generation again, because my generation complains so much about resources. Like, I can't start this because I don't have this. I can't do this because,
man,
I don't have a camera, for example. I can't start this because my camera, you know, is not detachable. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, things like that. So for you to say that and to bring it all the way back, you know, to the pyramid days, it's like, yo, we can really just use what we have and just get started. And that's that's one thing that I'm seeing in my generation, is that we're not just getting started. And I think that we need more people like you to continue having different artist talks like that to motivate and inspire, you know, people who are trying to be in that position and have that same platform as you. Definitely. So I appreciate that answer myself, and I wasn't even there.
It's cool, man. I bring things back to my culture and the way I was raised a lot, just because it's like I want to give appreciation and to my parents and just let them know how blessed I really am, and let people know how blessed I really am. It's not to glorify the fact that, you know, oh, you hear it all the time, rags to riches stories. America loves rags to riches stories, but we're so tired of hearing them. Mm-hmm. But it's just like the appreciation I have is different, because it's like, yo, when I remember, so I'm gonna tell this story real quick. I remember, back when Haiti had the earthquake, right? So I'm talking to my family in Haiti, talking to my uncle. My uncle's living in a tent city with a newborn baby at the time. In a tent city with a newborn baby, people are getting raped, robbed, looted. Everything is going on in these tent cities, right? So this is already a third world country, looked at as one of the poorest countries in the world, yada, 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 whatever. So I'm talking to my uncle. My uncle was laughing. My uncle was smiling through the phone. I could feel the joy. I could feel his energy. And I'm sitting here depressed for him, but he's happy. He's full of life. He's grateful that he's still living and breathing. And he has nothing. Yet we sit here with this sense of entitlement, crying about Wi-Fi, crying about not having this, not having that. Listen, I look at my life like this. Let me tell you something. I'm never gonna complain about not having. I look at it like I never had. So why is that going to stop me, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I've been down for so long, all I could do is go up. So it's really a mental state, right, for a lot of people. And if you're not strong mentally and you're not putting yourself in a position to win, you're never going to win. Because all you're going to do is complain about what's stopping you from winning, when really you're the only one getting in your own way.
Facts. And what was that turning point for you? What was that turning point for you as an artist? When you say, you know what, I'm done complaining, I'm getting out my own way, and I'm actually going to, you know, go be the best I can be. I'm going to go be great. Because you're definitely doing it right now. So when was that turning point for you?
It was funny. My road is really weird. Like, I feel like my path was funny. Like, I feel like I started off running, and then I let I never blame people for my, like, for distracting me or whatever, or any type of anything. I can't give nobody that much power, right? Mm-hmm. So I was in this relationship, this long-term relationship, like 5 years. I was living in Philly at the time, and I just, you know, I met this girl, and I was doing all the things I'm doing right now, traveling, shooting, this, that. Like, I remember the first time we started dating, like, in the first 2 weeks, I was traveling so much. I'm like, listen, I'm about to be away for 2 weeks. I'm not going to be able to see you. I'm going to just get up with you when I get back. But when I get back, yada, yada, yada. So I get back, and, you know, I get into the flow of things, the way I'm moving. She was cool, but I could sense it was, you know, playing into her insecurities. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, it wasn't the best situation for my relationship. So I decided to compromise. But in compromising, I was changing who I was to suit her needs. And, you know, it just wasn't for me. You know what I mean? Because it turned into me giving up on a lot of the things that were me and that I love to do. So long story short, I woke up one day just depressed. I was just depressed. I was low. I had closed down my studio. And the only reason I had closed down the studio was so I could move to L.A. This was a year later. I had closed down my studio. I wasn't doing nothing. I wasn't productive. I was writing a script that was taking me like 3 years to write. So I just was depressed. And I said to her, I'm like, yo, I don't even like who I am right now. I don't like how I talk to you. I don't like how I treat you. I don't like nothing about who I am right now, you know? Uh-huh. And she was cognitive of it. Like, she realized it, but she just didn't have an issue with it. She didn't have an issue with it because the simple fact that it kind of, like, at least now, in a way, she was winning. She knew, you know, I had a schedule. She knew where I would be. She knew I would be home at this time. She knew where I, you know, it just worked for her.
So it was winning for her. She was winning.
It just didn't work for me, though. So I had to, like, you know, we had a pivotal point where, you know, I'm like, listen, I can't do this anymore. And it wasn't even the relationship. I was like, I can't do this anymore and, like, sacrificing who I am to live this life that's not me. And I'm like, listen, I'm done with this. I'm done talking about it. I'm moving to L.A. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Everything I said I'm going to do, I'm doing it. And she's like, what about us? And I'm like, what do you mean, what about us? You coming with me? She's like, I'm not. And that was that. I walked away. Never looked back. That was about 2-3 years ago.
That's an amazing story. Because at the end of the day, I said that's an amazing story because at the end of the day, like, that's when I'm guessing the melanin empowerment came through. And that's when you wrote your first book?
No, that's my melanin empowerment is actually my third photo book.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my third photo book. But that's exactly at that pivotal point. That's when melanin empowerment was birthed because I moved out. I got another photography studio. I started living in that studio, working out of that studio, working again. And then I got on the road, and that's when I started shooting again, linking up, shooting for agencies, just making contacts, traveling, traveling, traveling. And I'm just like, yo, I'm traveling by myself at the time. And I'm like, yo, I was just telling somebody this story. I was in, like, Netherlands, right? I'm staying at this yoga. I always do like weird shit. I always grab like a one way ticket with nowhere to stay, and then I'll just figure it out when I get wherever I'm going.
That's the good life.
I'm staying at this lady's yoga studio in Netherlands, right? And then she's a life coach, and I'm like, yo, I've been traveling all year by myself, but I'm having the most amazing time. She's like, yo, you don't have anybody's energy to drag you down. She's just like, you're doing what you want to do, and things are coming to you and presenting themselves to you the way that they should be, and you're able to receive it because nobody's negative energy is there to drag you down. You know what I mean? It's, you know, you're receiving what's coming to you. And it was just like, I just didn't think about it. It was so simple, but I just didn't think about it like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing right there, man. Shout out to you. And I do not think that that's weird at all. Shout out to you. That's like, you know what I'm saying, you was in the Netherlands. Next, you know, you just, you know, meeting somebody who putting this good energy around you. That sounds like a story that everybody wants, you know, to have one day in their life. For real. Definitely. But let's jump a little bit into, you know, melanin empowerment in general. So could you break that down, what it is, and then how it became, you know, a 3-part book?
Yo, what's crazy is, Melanin Empowerment is my 3rd photo book. My first 2 photo books were Everyday Beautiful People. That was just a photo book about it was just my early on photography, showing off my work at the time. The second book was like Curve Theory, which was like showing off curvier melanin women. And melanin empowerment is just like, melanin empowerment was birthed from that trip that I just mentioned. So I went to Europe and I was shooting like a bunch of Playboy models and European models that were like really huge. So I come back with these like amazing photos, and you know, to me it was just like some of the best work I had did at the time, right? So these photos were crazy. I mean, I'm just in these crazy exotic places. And the reaction I got was, you know, it was so-so. You know, a lot of people loved it. That was the first time I had got offered to hang up my work in a gallery from those photos, actually. So that was before my recent gallery. This was like about a year and a half ago. And the other reaction I got from my community was like, you don't shoot black women? So it was just like, I'm like, hold up. I'm like, I've been doing this for like 8 years at the time or whatever. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I've been doing this. I just feel like you guys weren't acknowledging me. So, you know, now I do this. And like, that's the first thing you guys acknowledge. So it was kind of crazy. But what I had to do and I had to really realize and look at was the temperament of, you know, where we were at. Society, right? So we're talking about coming off of the Obama administration. We're talking about a time where it's just like, I mean, any other time where it's like, you know, I feel like I look at it like black women in America are at the lowest of the totem pole. You know what I mean? I had a friend, his mom broke down the hierarchy in America. She was like, she's Nigerian. She was like, listen, in America, it's the white man, the dog or the animal, and then it's the black man. But nowhere on that pyramid was women or even a black woman, right? So that shows you how low a black woman is viewed. They're not even on it.
Exactly.
They're not even acknowledged. So it's just like, I was like, you know what? I have my art form, and this is my way of expressing myself, right? And if I feel there's an issue or something that needs to be addressed, this is how I want to address it. So I'm going to take my art form and I'm going to, you know, just express my opinion. And I feel like black women or minority women are the most beautiful women ever. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Right. No. This is just me speaking my truth. So within me speaking my truth, I'm like, yo, I'm going to shoot some beautiful women and show people how beautiful women are. And it's just like everybody. I'm like, I feel like European beauty standards for everybody else on the plateau. Everybody is Kim Kardashian, blah, blah, blah. All this bullshit going on, right? Is being put on this plateau. I'm going to put who I feel needs to be put on a plateau in my eyes. And that's what I'm going to do. So that's what Melanin Empowerment was born from. It was just me, you know, giving what I felt of the who I felt needed a voice, you know what I mean, through my art form.
And it was an amazing form of art, honestly, truly. And I appreciate you doing that, definitely, because it sheds light on, you know, us as women, and then it sheds light on us as, you know, as artists, all in the same time, because you'll be able to see, you know, what we look like. You know what I'm saying, Harmony? Like, you'll be able to view the different sceneries, the different images of what a black woman actually looks like. So I definitely agree with that one. And I appreciate you coming on the Revive platform and definitely supporting us today and shedding light with the different stories that you brought to the show today. So I really do appreciate you. Could you go ahead and tell people where they can find you, where they can find your book? Oh, you really in New York right now. Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear everything behind you, too. You really in New York, man.
Yeah. I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I was like, could you go ahead and tell the people where they can find you? Go ahead and give yourself a shout-out where the people can find you if they want to go check out your book, your Melanin Empowerment book, things like that, in your website.
Oh, for sure. You can find me at bellimages.com. My book, I have a children's book out. It's you can check that out at urbantunes.com. We do ethnic children's books. Definitely hit me up on Instagram at Vel Images. Pretty much everything for me is Vel Images, which is VELIMAGES, Vel, VEL, and then images. So VelImages.com. Check out UrbanTunes.com. We're doing amazing things. I'm actually, Tuesday, I'm going to speak to some I'm going to read my children's book to some second graders in Harlem. So definitely check that out. We're doing amazing things in the community with Urban Tunes. Also, VelImages.com and at VelImages on Instagram. You know, you can find me and, shoot me, him slide in my DMs. I do reply. So, we just go from there.
Definitely. So I have a question, too, before I let you go. Do you do any kind of, like, mentoring? Do you help people who are up-and-coming photographers who are looking for someone who can help them with the lens, who can help them catch the eye, things like that? Do you do anything like that?
I mean, I wouldn't say I mentor per se, but I definitely, like, give people advice. Before I left New York, I live in L.A. now, but before I left New York last year, I was trying to do some work with a couple nonprofits out here that work with teens.
Okay.
So I want to get back into that now, but the problem I had last, my schedule, I'm always, like, moving around and stuff, so it's just like, it was hard for me to get with the teens. And because they wanted to, kind of shadow me while I do a photo shoot. And then I was going to have them do a mock photo shoot. But it's just hard catching me sometimes. And that was an interesting time, too. I was just doing the most. I'm always here, man. I'm always here to lend somebody a helping hand. Because, honestly, I look at it like this. How I got in was I loved it. And, I was taking it seriously and everything. I had a class that I took in high school. But what really got me into it was I was taking photos of my friends that were rappers at open mics and in clubs. And at this club one day, the photographer who was hired to actually shoot the event came to me and was like, "Look, yo, are you serious about this photography thing?" I'm like, I think so. I was 18. I'm like, I think so. He's like, "Well, if you are, here's my card. Come to my studio." And from there was a wrap. He took me under his wing. These guys were like 20 years my senior. You know what I'm saying? And they all took me under their wing. I walked through the studio one time. It was a Sunday afternoon. I seen like six photographers, women everywhere. It was a crazy scene. I was like, I need to be here. I was like, something about this is calling me. And it's not about, obviously the obvious, but it was something about it was just the art form. They taught me the business. They really just mentored me. And my thing is this, as a typical statistic, whatever, young black man, no father, single parent household, didn't have much growing up, yada, yada, yada. I've been very blessed in the people I've met, I've been able to meet in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I always know is going to come back to me, is I'm going to be extremely blessed in the people I meet. You know what I mean? I know every day I'm liable to meet somebody that's going to help me forward the message or help me in the path that I'm on. Like, that's a guarantee. Every day I wake up, I promise you that.
That's because a great feeling.
It's the energy you put out there.
Facts. That's a great feeling, man. And that's going to give you longevity, too, all at the same time. And that's what we're all looking for, man. I appreciate you once again, man. I wish you many blessings on your future endeavors. And I definitely want to stay connected whenever you're in the city of Philly.
Of course, man. Philly's my second home, man. Philly's my second home. Philly's my second home for real. I went to Northeast High School. I went to Penn State Abbotson. Philly's awesome. The second home for real, yeah.
Awesome.
I mess with Philly heavy, man.
No doubt, man.
I mess with Philly heavy.
Let's stay connected, and have a great week.
I appreciate y'all for having me. Thank you to the whole Revive family, man. I appreciate y'all a whole bunch, man.
Thank you. Y'all reached out,
and y'all was official, man. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you. I say the same, man. You definitely, I appreciate your support. Thank you for coming through.
Nah, no doubt. Y'all be blessed.
You too. That just wrapped up a great interview with Vail Images, man. Make sure you guys go support him right now. You can follow him on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Vail Images. Go support that young man, man. He's doing some big things with the camera. With the camera. No excuses, you guys. No excuses out there, man. Definitely go check out his Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. His Instagram is definitely popping. He just had an artist talk last night, man. I should have been in that room. The words that he dropped just explaining, you know, what the artist talk was about, just like, yo, I need to be in that room. Those sound like some like-minded people I need to be hooked up with ASAP. So I'm definitely trying to stay connected with him whenever he's in Philly. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we're up next with TLS, your boy Keith Taylor coming through to bless the airwaves, man, for what's buzzing today. Time for an awakening. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Spread the word. ReviveIsAlive.com. Click that link in my bio. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Revive_POC. You already know what time it is. This is me, your girl, POC. We be right back.
Let me tell you who to blame. Blame the boy lying at your feet, his body oozing life through the hole in his stomach where the bullet tore him apart. Blame him for challenging you, for not looking away and for not backing down when you pulled out the gun. Blame your mother for bringing you into this world when she was but a kid herself and for dragging you up. Not bringing you up. Blame society for not giving you hope. Blame your father for not being there, the man who looked after himself instead of looking after you. Blame the gun in your hand for making you a target, for making you more likely to be picked on. Blame the dead boy, blame your mother, blame society, blame your father, blame the gun, blame anyone but yourself for not being strong enough to put down the gun, to break the cycle.
I didn't want to have to do this, but you left me with no other options. You trifling ass, bogus ass, lying ass, dusty constitution ass, my president is orange ass, brunch ass, bad credit having ass, gentrified ass, golden paved streets my ass, Oscar so white ass, ugly ass, won't let people use the bathroom ass, pouring good tea into the ocean ass, alt-right ass, private prison ass, let's wait for the entire story before we start pointing fingers, aka give us time to come up with a story that justifies our mistreatment of people who don't look, act, or think like us ass, bet you won't meet me in the parking lot ass, fake news ass, bad anime dubs ass, dirty ass, income gap ass, Fox News ass, Salem witch trials ass, moon landed or nah ass, let's give Nicolas Cage another shot ass, got me taking Spanish all the way through high school and I still only remember Zapatos ass, made in China ass, masculinity too fragile for paternity to leave ass, more guns than people ass, war on drugs ass, high divorce rate ass, what's the opposite of progress ass, boys will be boys ass, country stealing ass, war on Christmas ass, Becky with a good hair Care ass, Yahoo Answers ass, country music ass, except Daddy Lessons, Beyonce is fire. Rusty ass, three-fifths compromise ass, hating ass, getting hacked by Russia ass, swine flu ass, Uncle Sam ass, Snowden ass, Duck Dynasty ass, literally assassinated Martin Luther King ass. Praise Obama for halting the Dakota Access Pipeline like he was the one having his skin torn off and frozen on the front lines by water cannons ass. What else can Steve Harvey and Nick Cannon host ass? The Civil War was about economics, not slavery, like slavery wasn't the heart of y'all economics ass. Where is Amazon ass? Steve Jobs died for my sins ass. I'm not even sure if this was a poem. I'm just mad.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Yep, you know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. We back live right now. Once again, we reviving your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Man, spread the word, spread the message. We are live on Time for an Awakening, but you can find us at reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. Go ahead and click that link in my bio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at revive_POC. Check out the timeline while you're on there as well. Don't forget to comment, double tap, whatever you may need to do to show love each and every time you bless us here on Revive. Man, thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. You already know what time it is. We about to get into the What's Buzzing segment, hosted by your boy Keith Taylor from the Left Side of Politics.
What's buzzing? Lost in a world full of words, or a combination of which enters me. On to rants such as what's buzzing. What's amazing is what a large world this is. Today in this world, we are either talking about the something, the nothing, and what's buzzing. Current events, let's talk about it. You have an opinion, let's talk about it. What's buzzing?
Yo, Keith, what it do? How you feeling?
What up, what up, what up?
What it do? What's good morning. How are you? It's Sunday morning, man. I just want to start off by saying good morning. How are you?
I am amazing. How about yourself? How y'all doing over there in Philly?
Man, we cold. I ain't even going to hold you, but we good. It's raining over here. How's the weather over there?
It's about 80 degrees in palm trees, you know?
Oh, man.
We over here letting life go to the beach.
I got to get used to this, man, Keith. I got to get used to this. Every time you come on, man, you start showing off because you in that good old weather over there, man.
I'm just trying to show y'all how we living on the opposite side of the country. I mean, I know y'all been getting hammered by a little snow these last couple of times. So just trying to show you the good things in life.
Man, I'm with you. I'm still happy you calling from a 240 number. That's the best part to me. I'm like, he ain't switched it all the way up on me yet.
Hey, D.C. will always be home. Let's not forget where
all
we came from.
That's all I'm saying, Keith. That's all I'm saying, man. Definitely. But
I would never forget that.
Man, to this week in politics, how would you just wrap up this week in politics? What would you talk about, or what would be that one word that you would give us for this week in politics? Was it crazy? Was it, you know, quiet? How was it?
I think this week was, let's say a roller coaster ride.
Let's get on it.
We're roller coaster ride. I mean, we know last week the Trump man himself had his State of the Union for this year, and he laid out some objectives of which he wanted to accomplish and what he wanted to do over the course of the year. Some of the big things he talked about was how MS-13, the gangs, got to be kicked out of America.
Yo, Keith.
They're coming through.
Keith, before you get started, you got to explain to the people what a State of the Union is. Not everybody knows exactly. Because Harmony even looked at me like the State of the Union. You got to break it down. Like, explain exactly what it is.
All right. Let's go basics 101. So State of the Union is once a year, in the beginning of the year, president comes, all of Congress, all the federal government comes together at the Capitol. And essentially, the president holds this speech in which he will outline or talk about some of his major objectives that he wants to accomplish throughout the year. So that can range from anything from immigration to what he wants to do on a foreign scale to domestic programs that he would like to see to tax cuts to anything in healthcare. So anything that essentially the president wants to accomplish, it's his way of getting it to the American people and getting it to Congress. So then that everybody essentially knows what the objectives are. And then we can find ways in order to work towards those. So it's kind of like the first day in class when you step in and the teacher tell you, okay, this is what we're going to do this year. And then you're like, all right, cool. We kind of got an idea. So when you come to work, you know what's going on.
So the syllabus, he laid out the syllabus for the people.
He gave us the syllabus for the year.
All right, okay.
Now, differences in politics, dude, so polarized today that this could go anyway. So during that, he talked about some of his big things was, you know, North Korea, as we've been talking about for the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. Healthcare, taxes. He wants us all now to work together and to find a better way to improve America domestically and abroad. Talked about military spending. He also talked about healthcare. And then he also talked about immigration. So he talked about a lot of things that he laid out, and for the most part, it sounded okay. But with the thing that with Donald Trump is, he has set a record that you cannot believe what he says, because his actions take you a whole different way. Mm-hmm. So that happened about last Wednesday. So then, of course, the following days, he kind of follows through on a little bit of the things. He doesn't go on a tweet storm. He's not really bashing people. And then we kind of get to this week and the Olympics. So looking at the Olympics, Winter Olympics, go USA.
But before you get all the way into that, though, Keith, what were like some of the objectives that he laid out in that State of the Union that is going to hurt us?
That is going to hurt us?
Well, go ahead and just answer the question, because I want to hear everything, and then I'm just going to decide what I feel is going to hurt me in my pockets.
So, of course, tax cuts.
Okay.
For the rich. Improving infrastructure in rural areas is also a thing. They want to lower the cost of prescription drugs.
That's a good thing.
Battle the opioid crisis.
Of course.
Then you talk about him taking credit for the stock market being so high and how the stock market is the greatest that it's ever been. But then also the stock market hit one of its lowest points that it's ever hit this week. So that's part of the roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. We talked about jobs report and how under Donald Trump, the African-American and minority unemployment rate is the lowest it has ever been. Okay, well, it's not completely factual. President Obama kind of put some of these policies in place that you just happened to leave in place and didn't repeal. So now you're going to try to take credit for something that President Obama started about 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm.
So the
Congressional Black Caucus did not look happy when that happened. We want to talk about military spending and increasing our defense budget and increasing our nuclear arsenal and updating that program to become more 21st century-ish.
Okay.
And immigration and MS-13s and how only the gangs from Mexico or South America or from a Spanish or Latin heritage are only the dangerous ones to America, not neo-Nazis or Aryans or anything else that may come from Europe. So those were some of the biggest highlights in which Donald Trump laid out in his State of the Union.
Wow. So did he put a budget in place? Did he talk about a budget? Did he lay out some numbers? Because everything that you talked about cost. Everything you said cost.
No. He did not lay out any numbers, which also makes this week a roller coaster week, because on Friday, the government shut down for about 5 hours. It went a little unnoticed because it happened at midnight through about 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. But not many people noticed it. But we did it, our second government shutdown under this president in 2 months.
Wow. In less than 30 days, for real, for real.
Buddy couldn't even reach him up. The government shut down again.
Oh my goodness. So what was the cost of this government shutdown this past Friday for about 5 hours?
I want to say cost maybe almost at least $100 million, over hundreds of millions of dollars. But they did pass a bill in which the spending bill was over $320 billion, and they did approve that.
Hold on, back up a little bit. So on Friday, for the reopening of the government, they passed a bill, and the bill that they passed was what and how much?
$320 billion.
Wow. And for what? What is this $320 million going to do? What is the purpose?
I mean, the money is spread all amongst all different platforms. So $20 billion is at least going to go to roads and infrastructures and bridges and kind of like internet access for rural areas in America.
Okay.
We also do have a good thing because $90 billion is going to disaster relief for hurricanes, Hurricane Maria to hit Texas and Florida. And then also,
is Puerto Rico going to get some of that money?
Oh, Puerto Rico is about to get some money.
Okay.
So Puerto Rico is going to get over in disaster aid that they finally needed to help them out. So at least $11 billion of that money, of the $16 billion that Puerto Rico is about to get, is coming as a community development block grant. And what that essentially means is that this money is only strictly dedicated to restore and fix the electrical grid that was destroyed by Maria. Because right now, about 1% of people who live in the mountains or rural countries in Puerto Rico are still without power.
Mm-hmm.
4 months later, 4 or 5 months later. It's crazy.
So they're only giving them money to just fix the electrical problems. They're not giving them
money
to rebuild.
So $11 billion is designated for that. $4.9 billion is designated to get the medical system back on track and to help out with, like, Medicaid programs that helps care. And then the rest of the money that's left over is going to go towards helping local businesses and helping rebuild homes.
Okay.
The problem is that the governor requested about, says the country needs about $96 billion.
By itself?
By itself, the country needs $96 billion. Because even before the hurricane, Puerto Rico owed the United States the most money any country has ever, with over $120 billion. So right now, Puerto Rico has always been in debt, and they almost defaulted on their loans a couple of years back. So Congress went on and passed that and said, okay, well, we'll give you an extension on your loan. When Hurricane Maria hit, it was so devastating because the homes in Puerto Rico aren't built to standard like they are here in America. So they're kind of built without contracts or meeting permits or meeting the building permits that are needed to withstand hurricanes or to withstand natural disasters, to withstand fires, whatever. They aren't built like that. So Maria comes through, wipes everything out, and of course everything that isn't meeting regulation code is gone. So after that, the country's poverty rate increased to something outstanding, like 46%, which is crazy. So this money, it helps, and I'm thankful, and I'm glad Puerto Rico's getting money, but it's got to go farther.
Yeah, I'm about to say it's really not going to do anything then. Because
it's kind of like,
need is not what they're getting.
You want $1,000, but hey, here go $5. Do what you can with that $5. We'll give you a little something.
That's pretty much what they're saying. But at the end of the day, how is that going to work for the people, though? You know what I mean? How is that going to work for the people? And then they're talking about all these immigration laws and this, that, and the third. Are they inviting them over here, you know what I mean, to live and to sustain? Or are they saying they have to stay over there?
Nah, Puerto Rico people can always come to America and make a living. And that was the biggest argument as well. Why don't they just come to America? But do you know how hard it is for you to pick up and leave your family and leave everything that you created? I mean, a lot of people in America don't even pick up and leave from home or their home city.
That's true.
To have that as an argument or to say that, well, they should have just came to America. They're free to come to America whenever they want. because they're American citizens.
That's a fact.
But it is hard for someone to leave their family, to leave their heritage, to leave where they grew up at, and come to a new place and try to start something without even a job. So.
But I feel like if we make that, and this is something that's so futuristic, don't get me wrong, but I feel like if we make it, you know, seem as though it's comfortable for you to do that, it's okay for you to do that, then I think they would do that. But when you have, you know, Donald Trump throwing, you know, paper towels and things at them, of course they're not going to feel like, yo, I'm wanted to come over here. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, they are American citizens, so they can move freely as they want to. But it's not, I don't think that they're in a position where, you know, it's talked about like, yo, this is the place to be. This is where you should go. This is where you should migrate to, things like that. So I think that's one of the biggest problems too. So I definitely want to see how this works for them, how this budget actually works for them, when they're actually going to get the money. You know what I mean? Has that been talked about, when the money actually will be given to Puerto Rico?
It's supposed to be immediate, that they're supposed to be receiving it any time now.
All right. Well, I hope that happens, man. And let's get into this Winter Olympics just a little bit before we go, Keith. Get into the Winter Olympics a little bit. And Mike Pence in North Korea. I thought that was kind of funny. I think they did that on purpose. Well, I know they did that on purpose. I ain't even thinking. I know they did that on purpose.
Well, as we know, Donald Trump is not the biggest fan of Kim Jong-un. North Korea and the United States have been beefing since the early 2000s. And this week is the Winter Olympics. So, what makes it interesting is that the South Korean leader, president, invited the North Korean delegation to a dinner. And they wanted to sit down, you know, hash things out and talk about how North Korea, South Korea, the whole region can kind of come at peace and let's take a step down from all these threats and everything that's going on. So, of course, Donald Trump and Pence, they come in and saying, no, we're not being a part of it. If North Korea wants to talk or North Korea wants to do anything, they should denuclearize. But first, we're going to call on all our allies to essentially isolate North Korea economically and with their resources, so then that North Korea will be forced to step down. Mm-hmm. Now, when the North Korean delegation and the athletes came out, Mike Pence refused to stand. He didn't shake any of the delegation's hands. He didn't talk to any of the leaders. So it was just completely dismissing North Korea. And they had a joint press conference with the South Korean leader talking or reiterating America's stance on North Korea and how South Korea essentially should follow suit and get on the bandwagon to isolate North Korea.
Is that going to happen?
No, I mean, right now it still remains to be seen. It's definitely high tensions, but it's like you and your friend, you know, you don't like this person, but your friend is kind of like, well, let me talk to him to see what it's like. And you're like, no, I'm not going to talk to him, but I mean, you can or whatever. So it's something like that. It can happen. Is North Korea going to denuclearize? No, that's not going to happen. But we need to start taking steps to see what it is that can happen. And if completely isolating them is the role that Donald Trump and Mike Pence wants to play, I don't see anything wrong with going to the table or going at least to the meeting and saying, like, okay, what are they talking about? Or at least have it as a backdoor meeting where it's not directly in the face of the public, but you're talking behind the scenes to try to see what you can work out and what can happen for longevity to not have a war in North Korea in this time and age.
Who are the allies? Like, who are the allies that, you know, Trump and Pence are trying to get together, other than South Korea?
So, of course, South Korea, Japan. China is a strong supporter of North Korea. So China right now is one of those people who are trying to play, like, defense on what's going on. Australia. Mm. And even you have a little bit of India in that, trying to help out as well. Great Britain, as always, who normally back us on a lot of things.
So putting together this alliance and, you know, we are going against North Korea, I would say, right? How would this, mm-hmm. how would the alliance benefit us here in America, though? Like, how would it benefit us other than, you know, them being so strong nuclear-wise?
I think it's a sense of peace, honestly. As you have a rogue leader who at any time, if he has a nuclear arsenal, could send off a nuclear missile towards America or towards Hawaii, especially the West Coast here. They're still kind of building that technology to get there. Mm-hmm. But if you look on a global scale, countries who possess nuclear weapons are taken a little bit more seriously than countries who don't. Also, I think the problem comes in is that we have really no idea the security of the nuclear weapons within North Korea. So it could very well be that a terrorist group or one person comes along and steals the material or steals the technology for a nuclear weapon and then rebuilds that or finds a way to produce that domestically here in America. And then now we have essentially a nuclear weapon of foreign built here in America. And how dangerous is that for us as Americans? So that's really the whole thing of it, is that if North Korea denuclearizes or they stop building similar to Iran, then that gives us as Americans more sense of peace.
Okay. Okay. And excuse me if I'm ignorant on this one too, but I know we've been beefing for a very long time. You know what I mean? Us in North Korea, America and North Korea has been beefing for a very long time, right? But for some reason, to me, it seems that it didn't get this serious until, you know, Donald Trump became the president. Or am I wrong? Has it always been this serious?
It's always been this serious. Okay. I just think under President Obama, the biggest thing was Osama bin Laden, ISIS, and the threat of ISIS was media-wise portrayed as the biggest threat to America, that ISIS could inspire these lone wolf attacks in America for people to go out and kill Americans. That was the biggest threat that the media portrayed. But if you go back to when President Obama handed over the reins to Donald Trump, President Obama told Donald Trump that the biggest threat to America is North Korea, mm-hmm. not really ISIS, because ISIS is now essentially dwindling down. Is ISIS still out there? Yes. But the impact that ISIS has on terrorism within America is not as high as it once was. Now the biggest threat to America is North Korea. And President Obama directly told him that, is that the biggest threat and what you need to pay out for is North Korea. Now, I think what is heightened between President Obama and Donald Trump is that Donald Trump is actively tweeting about North Korea. He called the leader Little Rocket Man on the ship. So what's going on with North Korea is directly portrayed on social media by our president of the United States, compared to President Obama, who the two presidents had completely different strategies about how they wanted to deal with North Korea. So it's not that North Korea has just all of a sudden rise, but North Korea has always been there. It's just now North Korea, in the media's eyes, has been now portrayed as the number one threat to America and no longer ISIS.
Wow. That's a lot of information you got to take in to fully understand. But and everything you said was definitely true, because Donald Trump, I don't understand what this man is thinking. I don't even understand what Mike Pence was thinking this past week when he didn't shake their hand or when he didn't acknowledge their leaders. I think, you know, acknowledging their leaders would, you know, give us some kind of leeway to show that, you know, we know you're here. We see you here, you know what I'm saying? And we're not hiding from you. I think that would be, you know, more honorable than just not shaking their hands at all. So in the press conference was the press conference with South Korea and America, or was the press conference with South Korea and North Korea?
South Korea and America.
And how did that go? Just tell us a little bit about that, because we do have to go. But tell us just a little bit about how that press conference went.
I mean, it went as a normal press conference was, though. There was nothing major that was introduced. It was just Mike Pence reiterating America's stance on North Korea and our whole stance on the region, and that we back South Korea and that South Korea backs us, and that we're going to still band together to isolate North Korea, and that the biggest priority now is to denuclearize North Korea. So it was a pretty standard press conference, kind of to reassure and reiterate the purpose of American goals within the region.
Dope, man. Keith, man, that's why we have you on, because we need you to keep informing people with these actual factuals, man, because this is definitely something that went over the top of my head. I didn't have time to sit down and just pay attention to politics this week, man, and that's why I appreciate you coming on each and every time, blessing these Revive airways to educate these people on what's going on in D.C. right now, our hometown at that, right? Ain't that crazy, man?
Right.
But go ahead and give yourself a shout out to the people where they can find you, how they can get into some of those questions of the week, the questions of the day, things like that that TLS has going on.
So you can definitely follow us at TLS Politics on Instagram and Facebook. That's TLS Politics. We do questions of the day on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to send us a get us at theleftside@gmail.com, theleftside@gmail.com. So. Appreciate you, POZ.
No doubt. Yo, Keith, before you go, somebody asked me a question. How can they find more information about the government shutdown that just happened on Friday? How can they find that? What website did you send them to?
Just go to Google and type in government shutdown, and then they'll definitely give you all the breakdown of kind of where the money went, what the biggest holdups were about the government shutdown, and how essentially there might be another shutdown, or we got to pass another budget bill before March 22nd.
We might be in
the situation again.
Yo, Keith, we already on shutdown number two. It's only February 11th. Already.
Hey, you think we can go for the trifecta? You know what I'm saying?
Yo, I'm scared. This is not a game, yo. This is not a game, man. But I appreciate you once again. I'll be talking to you real soon, Keith. I appreciate you. Have a great week.
All right, take care.
No doubt, man. That just wraps up our great What's Buzzin' segment hosted by TLS Politics. Your boy, Keith Taylor, coming through, blessing the airways every second and fourth Sunday of the month. Make sure you guys stay tuned. He just dropped some information. Yo, Harmony, I had no clue the government shut down on Friday. I did not know that. Not at all. Whether it was 1 hour, 2 hours, or 5 hours, I still need to know that. They need to publicize this kind of stuff. We need to know that. And that's what we here at Revive is trying to do. We're trying to put out that actual factual information for the people that know fake news. We're trying to put out that FUBU style kind of news. I keep trying to tell you that news that's for you, by you. You already know, man. Shout out to Keith Taylor. Shout out to the whole Left Side of Politics family, man. I appreciate you guys coming through. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll be up next with our special guest today. Stay tuned. We're reviving airways all the way up until 1 p.m. today. You already know it's me, your girl POC. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Congratulations, you've just been accepted into the college of your dreams. But there's one issue that many Americans face when going into college: money. One way people choose to fix this issue is by taking out a student loan. While in the short run it may seem helpful, if one goes a long time without paying their dues, it can result in one of the biggest problems Americans face today: student loan debt. According to reports made by the Federal Reserve in 2017, 44.2 million U.S. citizens have some sort of student loan debt. This adds up to a total of $1.44 trillion in student loan debt, with average people paying $351 per month. Please, be smart, and remember to pay off your student debt loans, or you'll be paying for it another way.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC.
Yep, yep, you already know what time it is. It's me, your girl POC. We are back live right now. Reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. Go ahead and spread the word, spread the message. We're reviving your airwaves all the way up until 1 p.m. today. We go live each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. reviving your airwaves with that good Sunday morning talk radio, man. Yo, Harmony, how you feeling? How you feeling today, man? It's Sunday. We got a long day. It's Sunday. We just getting started, baby. We just getting started.
I'm feeling well. I mean, my energy is still high. I'm just trying to get some things done and just make the best out of it, honestly, because we only have 24 hours in a day. And what are you going to do with every second that's going past in that day, in that moment? So I'm just trying to make it more, I guess, productive and effective and efficient. So I'm feeling good because I feel as though I'm using it wisely. I only have now. And POC wants the mic back.
Already, yes, we only have now. Definitely, man. You already know what time it is. We having a great, great, great special guest coming on for you guys today, man. Yo, Harmony, who's about to bless these airways today, man? I'm really excited to be speaking with this young lady. She is killing the game. I'm actually about to just go ahead and bring her on so she can introduce herself. Hey, how are you doing out there, Kira? How you feeling today?
Hey, POC Harmony, what's up?
What's up? How are you, man? I'm excited to be talking with you, man. You are doing your thing. You are doing your thing, Kira. How are you today?
I'm really, really great. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you guys and, you know, see what you guys want to know.
No doubt. Could you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the people exactly who you are so they know exactly who they listen to?
What's up, everybody? This is Kira Harper. I am a dancer from Long Island, New York, now living in Los Angeles, California. And I teach heels classes. I inspire women. I do everything I can to give back to the community.
No doubt.
There you
no,
go.
No doubt. Are you still, why do you still call yourself a dancer? I feel like you are like an artist, honestly, truly. Like, it's an art to the way that you dance. Do you still see yourself as just a dancer?
I don't ever see myself as just a dancer, but, you know, sometimes they look for that specific job description so that people can actually understand. Because when you hear the word artist, you know, that's a real general statement, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of people's version of understanding. But I definitely am more so of an artist, more so of a creative. You know, I work with kids, I work with adults, I teach, I dance. I still actually professionally dance as well. You know, I just got done doing the Late Late Show with Stephon Don.
Awesome.
So I still, yeah, I still do professional gigs as well as teach, as well as travel and try to inspire people. And, you know, I do a lot of things.
I do a lot of things. I'm with you on that one, man. We definitely got to juggle multiple hats nowadays. I feel you on that. And when you say you're a professional dancer, you're a teacher, you're a coach, where's your passion at right now? Like, what are you most passionate about? Are you more passionate about doing the professional dancing, or are you more professional? I mean, are you more passionate about doing the teaching and the coaching?
To be honest, PLC, my heart shares the same passion for being on stage as it does for being in front of a room of people and helping them, you know, get inspired and helping them find the thing that makes them feel good as a teacher. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
So honestly, my passion is just in inspiring people in general. You know, when you're on stage, you feel amazing. But as a dancer, you realize that it's not about receiving anything. It's about supporting what it is that you're on the stage for and making sure that whatever you're doing on that stage is inspiring the people that's watching you. So I think I really just have a passion for inspiring people to do something with themselves, to do more with themselves, to want to try new things and you know, to watch someone on stage and say, you know what, if that girl could do that, I could probably do the thing that I want to do, mm-hmm. you know? So I think I have more so of a passion, not for dance or teaching, but for the actual art of inspiring people to do more.
No doubt. And how long have you been dancing yourself? How long have you been in the business?
Oh, girl. Okay. So I started dancing in Long Island, New York at the age of 7. I grew up in a studio called the Vinette's Culture Workshop in Wyandanch, Long Island. And I went to college and all that stuff and, you know, very, very academically focused. And then after I graduated college, I went to Hampton University. Woo-woo.
HBCUs.
I started my professional career in 2011. And then I got signed to my actual agency in 2013. So I've been working officially professionally since 2013.
And you talked about, you know, staying inspired and being motivated. What keeps you inspired and what keeps you motivated? Because from 7 until now, that's a very long time. You know what I mean? You've been dancing for a long time. So what keeps you going and, you know, once you continue your career as being a dancer?
Well, I can say being a dancer is definitely not one of the easiest careers. You know, you're constantly being told no. But what keeps me going is the magic that comes with those one yeses, you know, those few yeses that mm-hmm. you do get.
Exactly.
The feeling is just undeniable. You know, for instance, I talk a lot about the biggest job I've ever done, which was Super Bowl 50 with Beyonce,
awesome.
The Formation Super Bowl. And that feeling was so I can't even explain. It's an inexplainable feeling. It's like the rumble, the feeling you get inside your body. It's addicting. It's addicting. Being on stage is just addicting. So I think that's what really keeps me going. On top of the fact that, you know, sometimes it's not the easiest. So you need a really good support system. So I have my family and, you know, my immediate family and my really tight friends. You know, I have my Auntie Kay and my best friend Chantel and Anika, and, you know, they kind of keep me going. And whenever I'm feeling down, like, y'all, I don't know if I could do this, they're always there like, yes, you can. You committed. You can, you know. So sometimes it's just really important to have a really strong support system, you know, your family, your friends, your parents, my brother, and, you know,
they
definitely push me to keep going forward.
No doubt. And one thing that I'm learning in my career is that the support system gets smaller and smaller and smaller. The bigger and, you know, the more you continue to grow, the support system gets smaller because now you have to, you know, check who you're getting advice from. You got to make sure you're in the right rooms, getting advice from, you know, people who are like-minded as you and things like that. So I'm definitely learning that myself. And you also talked about, you tried to slide that in there real quick, what about the Super Bowl 50 when you did the formation. That is honestly, truly amazing. Shout out to you for that. And how was that experience? You know what I mean? Like, how was that being part of that formation? Because you women, you know, honestly, us looking out and looking at you guys were an example to us. You know, we were like, yo, we want to get a formation with them. So how was it being part of that formation, that line of beautiful, excellent women, you know, showing that black is beautiful, black is gold kind of look? You know what I mean?
Girl, it was insane. It was insane. I just remember being in the tunnel before we go out, and it was like you could hear the rumble of the crowd. And, you know, Beyonce, everyone, we just had done this huge prayer and everyone's hyped up. And I just remember a moment of just silence. I just felt super calm. And I bent down and I just prayed by myself. And it's funny because later on, Beyonce's photographer had taken a picture of that, and I didn't know, and it showed up on the internet and went viral for like a little while. But it's just insane, just knowing that, like, I remember being a little girl and looking on TV and not seeing many people that looked like me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that I was about to be out on that field on the biggest watch show in the world
mm-hmm.
with 25 other women or 24 other women that looked like me, that had skin that looked like mine, most blackest way possible. Like, I think that was the most amazing feeling because I just knew there was those little girls out there were going to say, oh my God, they do look like me, and they
exactly.
can do that, and they're up there, and I want to do that too. She looks strong. I can be strong. You know, I cried as soon as the music started, I was crying on stage.
That's honestly amazing. I know that feeling was like overwhelming with joy, you know, and happy tears. Yeah. It wasn't sad tears. It was happy tears. You know what I mean? So I know that was really, really big. How was that conversation with your mom? I know that was like, yo, mom, like I'm really doing it. How was that for you?
Well, funny story. I have a little story about how I actually got on that job. Mm-hmm. I was visiting Los Angeles for the first time as a dancer, and I had seen a friend of mine at a bar before I went to go to the airport. So I said, hey, girl, what's up? What you doing here? And, you know, she didn't really tell me. And it was actually a friend of mine who actually dances with Beyonce. And I went to the airport with one of my good friends, Giovanni. We get on the plane, we had just boarded the plane, and my phone rang. And I was like, what's going on? And she called me. She's like, hey, girl, what are you doing? I was like, I'm on the plane about to go back to New York. What's up? She's like, get off the plane. I was like, get off the plane? She's like, yeah, you got to get off the plane right now. They want you in rehearsal. I said, they who? She's like, girl, Beyonce. I said, no way. No way. And my friend Giovanni's like, you got to get off this plane. And they had just shut the door. And we're like, we got to get me off the plane. And the stewardess came by, and I was like, listen, how bad does my emergency need to be for me to get off this plane right now? And it was just like, well, what's wrong? I said, I'm going to just tell you the truth. I just booked Beyonce. And, you know, she was like, oh, my God, we got to get you off this plane.
Hell yeah, get me off this plane.
Yeah, so she, you know, she's like, open the door, get her up, I'll get your carry-on, you just go right on ahead. And I remember running off the plane, the whole plane was clapping. It was like a movie, I couldn't believe
it.
The whole plane is clapping, I run off the plane, and I get in the airport, and I'm standing there by myself. And I just call my mom, and I'm crying, like, so hard. And my mom was like, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning in New York. She's like, what's wrong? She's freaking out. I was like, I didn't get on the plane. She's like, you didn't get on the plane. She's freaking out. I'm like, oh. She's like, what happened? I was like, I booked Beyonce. She starts crying. I'm crying. She's like, oh, my God, my stomach hurts. What are you going to do? I was like, Mom, I don't know. I had like $40 in my account, and everything just happened and made sense. And my mom was just so proud. I even called my Auntie Kay. I remember she answered the phone, and she was like, oh, my God. She couldn't even react because she was so in shock, you know. But I my mom was just, both my mom and my Auntie Kay, those are like my mothers.
That's were awesome.
They were so proud and so excited, and they cry. Whenever I think about them watching me on stage, I cry thinking about them crying. It's like the worst.
That's the Super Bowl story.
That's how it all happened.
That's a great story. That's honestly a great story. You have a great friend who was sitting next to you on that plane like, yo, you got to get off this plane. And shout out to that story for definitely making sure you got off that plane, man, because that's one of those, you know, taking a risk and just watching it happen and, you know what I mean, and actually going after your dreams and dream chasing. That's definitely a story that we all, you know, want to resonate with one day. So definitely shout out to you for following your dreams and taking that risk, because it was the right risk to take. You hear me? Because you became an example to a lot of young girls out there who are aspiring dancers today. And you actually still, when you teach the dancing, you're teaching young kids too. So do you actually own your own studio in New York where people come to get some of your classes?
No, I don't own a studio in New York for kids. But when I do go back home, because I live in Los Angeles now,
okay.
But when I do visit back in New York, I always go back to my home studio where I grew up.
Awesome.
The kids, all the kids there know my name because it's Kira. You know, Kira's back and da 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 da. So I always go back and try to teach a class or just be there. I'm there all day. The Saturday opens at 9 a.m. I'm there from 9 till 7. Just there, just making sure that my presence is there, that the kids see me, that they know I'm there, and that I'll always come back. Because, you know, a lot of times, especially these days, Black children in general, a lot of them are abandoned or feel like they can't go to anybody or like they're mm-hmm. always being left. So I always, when I do go home, I go back to my home studio and know that these kids know that I'm always going to be there, even if I'm not there physically. They could always call on me. I'll always come back. I'll always root for y'all. You know, I want to make sure that my presence is still known and there for those kids.
No,
but I don't have a studio right now. a lot of my teaching right now, because I do teach heels, it's I keep that at 18 and up. I really am not a fan of younger girls dancing in heels, to be honest. I think it robs them of their youth. But a lot of my teaching now is for the older woman from 18 and up. But when I do get a chance, I try to give back to the kids as much as I can.
No doubt. I want to ask you this really quick question, because I'm in PR a little bit myself, and I know that you got your degree, you got your undergraduate degree in PR and communications. Do you use that at all in your professional life when it comes to dancing? Has that helped you, you know, when it comes to doing your own PR and things like that?
Yeah, it definitely has. I think I've become a little more lazy since I've graduated, so I kind of try to delegate because my schedule has become so crazy. But, you know, managing, just for instance, managing my social media in the proper way, or even managing situations for myself, like, for instance, with interviews or writing biographies to give to people, or, you know, I'm able to do that on my own. I don't necessarily have to delegate, even though now that I do, because I just don't have the time.
Talk heavy.
But
yes.
I definitely still do use it. And even if I do delegate the time to other people to do things, I know that I can rely on myself to check, double check, triple check their work before we, you know, submit anything and make sure things are right in the way that I see fit for myself, you know. But as far as branding is concerned, I've definitely learned how to brand myself from being in school, making sure that my brand is consistent across all platforms and consistent and clean across all platforms, you know. So shout out to Hampton University, Scripps School of Journalism.
No doubt. Shout out to HBCUs. For real. Okay, so I do have a question too, because you teach heel classes, right? So that's pretty much, you know, dancing in actual heels. What's the highest heel that you ever danced in? Because I'm looking at some of these videos, I'm like, oh my God, how is she doing that in them heels?
Well, I try to keep mine to a minimum of at most 4.5 to 5. Okay. But I've danced in different kinds of heels, you know, all different types of things. I just actually did a job. I was choreographing a job where the artist wanted to dance in the actual, like, stripper heel, the plastic one with the big platform on the bottom. Uh-huh. And I had never put those on before, but I had to put them on. I had to figure it out, you know. I think that's the highest heel, that big, like, 8.5-inch platform that those strippers wear with the clear heel that clack, clack. Uh-huh. So I've actually had to do that before. And I definitely have hit the ground a few times. I can't even lie. But, you know, you get back up. Story of your life.
I'm with you on that. And how do you separate the two? You know what I mean? Like, because some of the dancing can be seen as seductive and very sexy, especially because you are in heels and things like that. So how do you separate the two from, you know, people trying to identify you or the type of dancing that you do as, you know, stripper dancing for what you're actually doing, which is professional choreography?
Well, let me just say this. As a human being, right, you don't have just one emotion. No woman is just sexy. No woman is just happy. No woman is just sad. So I make a point in my classes to make sure that as a woman, when you're dancing in your heels, you're being 100% unapologetically yourself. So it's not just about being sexy and hot. It's about being exactly who you are and how you feel. That's what my class is more so about. So a lot of my stuff, I really focus on lines and cleanliness more so than just the art of sex, if that makes any type of sense. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I try to differentiate. I try not to roll around on the floor for too long. I try to make sure that the intention is very clear. And in my class, I reiterate it over and over again. Be more than just one thing. No woman is one-dimensional. No person is one-dimensional. You feel different things. So when you move, you have to move through those different types of feelings in order to portray what it is that you're trying to say to your audience in a way that they can understand.
I'm with you on that one, man.
Yeah.
So, and also when it comes to choreography, right, and because I haven't, you know, I never been on an actual scene or a shoot or, you know, a video shoot before. So is there like a head dancer who puts together the choreography, or do you guys as a group, you know, as dancers come together and put together the choreography? How, or is it already laid out and then you guys just got to pick up on the counts?
So every job is different, but there's different job descriptions. So in a professional setting, you have your choreographer, who is the person who makes up the choreography. And then you may have, for instance, a creative director is who is somebody who oversees the entire project. So the creative director will ultimately hire the choreographer to do what it is that the creative director is trying to build for the entire show. Mm-hmm. So let's say, for instance, we're talking about a world tour for Katy Perry. Let's just say Katy Perry. So you may have, I'm just going to give you fake names. Joe Schmo is the creative director. He came up with the full concept. He came up with the layout, the staging. So he hired the lighting person, the music director, the choreographer, and then you have underneath him is the choreographer. And the choreographer now will hold an audition. And based off of what conversation that this person had with Joe Schmo, the creative director, they will basically figure out what type of dancer they need, what look they need, and then they'll have an audition for that, and then hire the dancers. And you come into rehearsal, and sometimes choreography is already done and laid out, and just you just learn, and other times they build it on the dancers and figure out what works. That's normally how it goes in the professional setting.
Have you ever had your creative control on one of the platforms that was presented to you? Have you ever been looked at like, yo, what do you think? What do you think we should do here? Or do you think we should do this flip here or anything like that? Have you ever had any kind of creative control so far?
Yeah, I've done a few things where I've actually been in charge as a choreographer. I also do movement coaching. So with new artists, I've had a partnership with a record label through another choreographer as an assistant. And basically he would be in New York and I would be in LA, and any LA clients, he would delegate to me and tell me exactly what they need. And I would be the one basically in charge, getting their shows together for them. I've also had situations where I've assistant choreographed music videos, and basically there would be a head choreographer and then they would delegate to me specific sections that I would be responsible for, to make sure that, you know, that idea is portrayed correctly. Dope. So I've definitely been in those seats before.
And how do you like that? You know what I mean? How do you like being presented in at that table, you know, as the head choreographer or, you know, someone who's in charge of the creative design of it all?
That is one of the most stressful jobs, first of all. There's so much, because it's not only just your idea, but it's also the idea of the artist that you're working for. So a lot of times it could be really stressful because artists change their mind, you know? Mm-hmm. So everything that you've worked so hard to do, now they're like, no, I'm not feeling that. Now you got to backtrack and recreate and make sure everything is good in a shorter amount of time. So it can be a stressful job, but the reward is insane. The reward is insane. Once it's all finished and you see the final product, it's amazing.
No doubt. Have you ever had to walk away from a project because you're like, no, this is just not me, or no, I'm not doing that? Like, have you ever had to walk away from a situation before?
A lot of times whenever I do or I'll get invited to do jobs or I'll get solicited to do specific jobs, I always look, we get something called a breakdown. And the breakdown basically tells you what the job is, and I try to kind of screen things before I go. Mm-hmm. It kind of just saves me a lot more time. So I've definitely opted out of, you know, doing specific positions and jobs and stuff like that, just because I didn't feel like I fit. Worked with my brand. And a lot of times, you know, specific budgets just don't work for you either. Not to say that it's always about money, but sometimes what I've learned over the years of working professionally is sometimes when the budget is not right, the respect for your creativity is not always there either. Mm. So I've opted out of a lot of jobs because the budget wasn't correct, because I knew that creatively I would not be respected in the way that I needed to be, you know?
No doubt, man. And I appreciate you for doing that, because that sets the example for, you know, young women coming behind you to say, no, I'm worth more than this. Or, you know, my talent can be displayed, you know, on a different level if you just give me this so I can show you this, you know. So I definitely agree with you on that one, definitely. So don't settle for just anything just because there is a platform and is an opportunity. So I do agree with you on that one, too. But before I let you go, I need you to go ahead and tell the people how they can find you. If you have a website, your social media, if you don't mind them checking you out, you know, coming to your classes while you're in, if you're in New York or if you're in LA.
Yes. Hey, y'all. So Kira Harper here. You guys can find me on Instagram at Kira M Harper. So KIIRAMHARPER. You can send me a DM. I always post my classes. I travel everywhere. So if you need me, send me that email and I will be coming to a city near you soon. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for showing your support, man. We really appreciate you here at Revive. Man, we already know you're about to have a great 2018, and I definitely want to stay connected. I appreciate you.
For sure, guys. Have a great, great Sunday, and, you know, stay blessed and be great.
No doubt. You same to you, and thank you once again for blessing the airways with us today.
All right.
That just wrapped up another great interview, man, with our special guest, Kira, man. She's a professional dancer. She's a teacher and a coach. Make sure you guys go check her out right now, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Man, we just had a jam-packed show for you guys today. Make sure you guys stay tuned to Revive. We Revive in your airways 3 times a week. We go live each and every Monday on DG from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We go live each and every winning Wednesday here on Time for an Awakening from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And you already know each and every Sunday we Revive in your airways with that good Sunday morning talk radio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's me, your girl, PLC. You got your girl, Harmony, the goddess in the building. Harmony, how can they find you so they can get some of them imprints, baby? We need to get some of them imprints. It's Valentine's Day this week. We got some specials. We got some packages for the couples. What's up, Harmony?
Yes, so like POC said, shout out to our guests today. They were definitely amazing. Definitely, definitely, definitely. Two big, big artistries that I am obsessed with. Definitely dance was my first love and will always be the love of my life. I would never leave you, baby. But anyway, So Remedy Spa and Wellness, we're definitely having different Valentine's Day specials for you lovers out there. And you can get massages, facials, foot rubs. I mean, a private chef. We're doing it big for you because you are special and so is your special one special to us. So we can come to you or you can come to the studio. Just make sure you check out Remedy Spa and Wellness. You can Google it. Or if you're on social media, you can find it, Discover Remedy. But you can find me personally if you would like to hit me up and shoot me some vibes. You can find me at Harmony the Goddess on all social media platforms. And just remember to live in peace, not pieces. POC over here is stressed out. And we need to live in peace, not pieces, okay?
I'm not stressed out. It's just that we are on a time schedule. We're supposed to be getting off the air at 1 o'clock. Time is definitely an illusion, but if they coming after me, they coming after you. So we need to hurry up and get off these airways. Yeah. You already know what time it is, man. We'll be back tomorrow, Monday, back to back, every Sunday, every Monday. Check us out, reviveisalive.com. Go ahead and click reviveisalive.com in my bio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at revive_POC. Stay in the loop with us, man. Make sure you guys, if you feeling froggy, please jump to the homepage of reviveisalive.com and donate today. Just $1. Please donate to keep Revive Alive and everything we need so we can keep growing each and every day. Shout out to both of our guests once again for coming through. We have some huge guests for you guys today. We're going to keep growing each and every day. We need you guys to tune in and subscribe to the Revive newsletter, man. You already know what time it is. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. We out. It's me, your girl, POC.